It is to initiate you in gratitude for the change we both went through. She said, not to worry, that I wanted to remind you of times past. I have sat here while I waited for you, and read in the image writing Akab lent me, about our life together on earth, both the last and the two preceding, and I have longed for this a while, when I could show them to you, and we could seek to interpret them together. Here I have another mirror, which reproduces images from a life that is even further back in time. She stroked it the same way, and the same scenes that I saw once when I was sitting watching over Gertrude Inn, came back with life's warm color against me. Comment Rune. Seems to be like today's pads with touch screens, which we now, more than 100 years later, also have here on the physical earth level. Continues with upbraiding. Cannot you understand what it torments me to see this? I said. I have to admit that even this was me. But why should I again be reminded of all this? I have produced these images, so that we might learn something from them. I wanted so happy with you get to look back on the stages we traveled. Maybe you're right. It shall then be interesting to hear what you thought about our strange fates. Well, she started, you jerked me once, when I was a naive child of nature, from the environment I belonged. You took me half with, half against my will and took me away to your castle. What did I know, what fate awaited me? Then the Grand Knight Luigi gave me her jewelry and attracted me to jump up on his pommel. The adventure enchanted me, but it was not long before defiance awoke in my breast. I was children of a free people who do not recognize any master. Liberty was the breath of life I imbibed from the time I lay upon my mother's breasts. The freedom was me more precious than life. When I saw how all my steps were watched, how I actually was a prisoner in the palace, for which I dreamed of owning and mastering, then came hatred in the poor Xenia's heart. Yes, I think it was more loss of freedom than the abuse I was subjected to, when other women soon took my seat, which in my mind, founded the bitterness which it then cost me so many sufferings to be obliterated. Now it's gone, and I can sit quiet and watch the past and be pleased to welcome you in my home. Now I have learned to value you as my best friend. Thanks for the words. But do not cancel your story. How did you prepare your escape? I bribed the guard at the drawbridge with a few bottles of wine, and so I went out to Bleakcourt in mourning, before anyone was still awake in the castle, out into the wide world with a few gold coins in my pocket and a small child in her arms. I was poor and had to beg my way. What did it matter? I was free and I had my little boy, my Angelo, which I loved passionately. My own tribe, I dared not to seek up, but joined soon another gypsy tribe, and then lived with these wilderness children a wandering life. I danced for bread for me and my baby, and when I could no longer dance, I predicted in cards, both high and low, it was more beneficial. Though I had many offers, I never wanted to get married. Freedom from all bands was my way. It germinated also deep in my soul. A hatred for men. Full became my mind in turmoil as I thought about how they despise the woman, how they override her. I had got to know and feel it, aye, and yet in my old days, I could tremble with rage when these thoughts came over me. And all of this was my fault. It's terrible what I have much on my conscience, I interrupted. You dear friend. Do you think it is to make yourself reproaches as I sit and talk about this? No, my mind is now so free from any the slightest feeling of resentment. Yes, even more, now I owe you thanks for what you last made for me, and that is to learn to understand what to pull up from these memories. Continue then. Did you get any joy out of your son, our son? As long as he was a child, he was my life's great consolation and my heart's treasure. He was the sun over my thorny path. All my thoughts were about how he was going to be great and beautiful and happy. But he was a bastard of knightly halls' grandeur and the gypsy tent's rags. He belonged to neither, but was pulled to them both, and therefore he was a dreamer. He had once been given a pencil, and it was his joy when he came across a piece of paper, to sit and draw, lost in admiration over a tree branch or a flower. He was not like any of us. His limbs were tender, his hair blonde, his skin white. It was my pride, but it gave my constant concern, for I felt that he was not in the long run could stay with me. One day he disappeared, he had fled without saying me farewell. He was well when about 18 years. My poor Angelo, he knew that I rather sat the dagger in his chest than voluntarily waved him. What happened further for yourself after the loss? With me it was over. Since I vain by strayed far distances about our camp and shouted his name in the forest hides, until my voice failed me, I put a new bitterness to the old. I closed myself within myself, became silent and grumpy and was considered by my tribe as deranged. I let them believe it, but I had my full sense and understanding. All my thoughts were now about revenge, revenge on him who betrayed me, revenge to him that ran away from me, revenge upon all men, for they were the root of the entire evil world. Yes, such was I then and such I went over to this world, where I was for a while, which seemed to me to never end, and brought me a miserable existence. I remember it so well yet, it can best be described as a bleak twilight without a sunray, and no time of joy. Still reveled, my thoughts of hate and vengeance against both men that devastated my life. Finally got a good spirit and sought me out. He gave me the education and care, he melted the ice around my heart, and I got through his education, soon a brighter residence. I was now comparatively happy, because I could forget, yes, I seemed to be able to forgive. It was the same Akab that brought you here, the faithful, warm-hearted Akab, who helped me then, as he had done many times since. He put me in a good school, where I learned much that I did not have a clue about. Only now I noticed how immature I was, and I worked restlessly on getting knowledge and to strengthen my spiritual muscles. Did you see your son during this period? No, neither him nor you. You were both gone, I know not where. It was well sensed that I would try to forget, for a while at least. You have not seen him since? Well, wait a minute, I'll be at that passage in my life. Go ahead, I pray. Your words move me so that I'm sitting in the greatest excitement. Was it long before you went down to the earth again? I do not know with certainty how long, but I would think that after earthly reckoning took a few hundred years. Finally, I was taken by the earth longing, and I went down with the beautiful intentions to become good and still. Alas, what's an intention, bubbles, which burst at first contact with reality. They need to be cured in the fire of trial, only then do they grow into in nature and become one with our being. Do you remember anything from your next earthly life? That was when I was Gertrude. I was born in favorable economic conditions. Long the only child of the rich and powerful mayor, I was a spoiled kid, who was accustomed to having my every wish fulfilled. I wretch, bad, I wore the ordeal that be rich. Was it a latent memory of everything I had in the previous life forsaken, that I then, however, once received sipping on abundance, now gripped me, so that I passionately devoted myself the worship of gold? Or was this evil seed in the ground of my being and which now demanded to grow and then show its nothingness? I know not, but know I got my fill of fun measure, and that it drew me to ruin. I looked for the one that could increase my wealth, and I found you. The rich heir, who was also so weak-willed that I could wrap you around my finger. One thing annoyed me, I had a brother who would divide the inheritance with me. For this reason, he was mere thorn-eye, but on the other hand I had, as long as he was a child, an almost motherly feeling affection for him. Was it because I was so much older than he, and in fact must take care of him when our mother died, as then she gave him life? Or was it occult memories that unconsciously made themselves felt, because Kulgran was, I have now received to know, none other than my Angelo from the gypsy time. He had sought me up, to be for help and support of me, but how was his love given back? Where Kulgran our son? How strange. Then I begin to understand. What do you mean? Why I felt so drawn to him. but also why I always had a certain sense of responsibility towards him, not just a sense of guilt for the crime I committed when I sent him out to the probable destruction, without a sense of deeper nature. Do you know where he since has gone? Wait, we meet him again soon. Our life together, as I, myself ruled by so many evil passions, also drew you into perdition, I can ignore here, as we both know it too well. There I brewed myself a bitter drink, which I then had to empty later. You know how I finally fell so deeply that I killed my father and stole his gold, then on myself getting rage and unbridled freedom. For a time, I was in a foreign country as a celebrated beauty, the widow of a great and esteemed businessman. It was the stamp, under, in which I appeared. But the road went downhill from fall and decline. You saw for yourself what misery I sunk into, when you came and got me. Yes, poor Gertrude, it was terrible what you must have suffered. What was it, compared to what I then had to endure in Mountain Hole, in solitude with myself? But it was needed these torments of hell to bend a stiff neck, so that of mine. But then you were up here after all, so good and so humble, I said. How could I then, in my next life backslide as I did, you mean? Yes, you may well wonder. This have been for myself a mystery, but it's enough so that intentions are not adequate, they are to be examined down there in the matter, where the memory of all the past is wiped out, which for each time so to speak, may start anew, where the evil capabilities, while they have a soil to germinate in, and where they also grow so that you can get a hold of them and uproot them with the root. That's how the good soil is finally prepared, which gives food to the influence that comes from above. This time I went down with the best intentions, how I kept them, you self know. Longing for freedom and adventures, sat me even so the blood, that I could not possibly be the still and mortified creature, that fitted as the wife of a humble farmer on a small farm. The so-called artistic life with a gypsy-like theatre troupe was probably more in my taste. It had something of the life of free gypsies, with its frivolous flair about them, and it had yet been so deeply rooted in me that I felt at home just there. Therefore, I rejected your first marriage proposal, but when you came back, and I saw therein a promise that your feeling was strong enough to carry me into other adventures, then I followed you, I though did not have any warmer feeling for you. I also believe that there were higher powers in action, so that we would now be combined to obtain an opportunity to help each other out of the net of bad effects that we messed ourselves into by previous actions. When I was Gertrude, however, I feel we had made it wiser not to be bound to each other. Then we made each other much hurt, I with my possessiveness, you with your softness, both with our thoughts of winning. Then we were not yet ready to solve the difficult task we had together. Higher powers had probably intended it so you would have genuine Gerda and I had to stand within range of your influence. How different could not then all have taken shape? Imagine what a wife you would have had in her, how you would have grown at her side. But now it went as it went. We both got a hard-won experience. Another thing was that in our past, last life on Earth, then, we were both slightly better equipped for a solution of the conflict, in which we committed ourselves to each other, and thanks to your patience and your kind heart became to loose. Why do you think the higher powers wanted our union more this time than the time before? In this, I have a very specific reason to believe, as then they let her, she you really belongs to, be born as your sister. Was Maria? Yes, Maria was Gerda, your good angel, who always fell your needs. Wonderful how the destiny's threads are twisted together. Yes, you may well say so. There seems to be a law, that those who have to do with each other, sooner or later is pulled, attracted together down there on the physical plane. We were also not the only old acquaintances who recently met. You asked for Carl Garan, he came as Axel to you to spread a little sunshine over your life. Also to me, he showed kindness that I certainly did not make me deserve, but its extent helped to tame my mind and melt my hardness. He is so good, and once I will probably be in a position to reapply all the good he has done to me, and give vent to the tenderness I still have added to my way of being, on his behalf. But those who find it difficult to forgive me, it's the father I robbed and murdered. Although he stood not far from us during our last earthly life. He was your uncle. Really? It came over me like a little while you sat here and talked. Yes, it was the lot of the old mare's rigid and barren being, who came back with my uncle. The only he showed any real affection, was Maria, yes even Axel, his son from ancient times. The he had trouble to like. Was also this an expression of an unconscious occult memory? Why not? I find it quite natural. Have you met him, as he came over here? I met him and did what I could to deal kindly with him, but he recognized me and was still very harsh to me. But it will probably also be our time to make up our dealings. When Maria got her holidays, I hoped to first win her heart. She was very reluctant to me, which I will not blame her for, but she has a heart of gold and is easily reconciled. Then I thought that she and I together will help Uncle. He's probably not having it really good yet. It's highly interesting details from our past lives, you hear rolled up. What thereby fills me with the greatest admiration, is the accuracy with which the higher powers, as you call them, I would say God, leads all of our destinies, so that we get the opportunity to develop, not only ourselves, but also to repair what we have broken onto the others, and to some extent contribute to their development. Do you have more to tell me about the past? Only that we, in our last life, met another old creditors, the coachman Lars. He belonged to the crew that went under with Votan. It was probably an unconscious sense of guilt that drove me so warmly put me out for him, when your patience was over. And that you have fulfilled my desires, you have not regretted. He became, finally, a decent man and, since he came over here, have had it relatively good. So we get enough time to make good to all, against whom we have done wrong. Now only remains for me, to at this end, where I began, to thank you for being a good friend, to open for me when I came back wrecked and wretched. Had you then shut your door for me, as indeed was so close at hand, and as many claimed, so I had got a hateful heart and a crushed brain, gone from that life to end up in a dark and yet harder place than what was Gertrude's lot. But now you did not push her away, but healed her wounds. While I was struggling in my mind the most violent battles with my own I am proud, I was at the outer repulsive and cold, I could not otherwise. But you were always good and durable and it finally melted the ice about my heart, so that I, before I life left, got power over me to thank you and ask you to forgive. Therefore it became my entry into our world, this time a sweetness that I cannot describe. Much remains to me to go through, I understand, but I have found peace with myself, and it's a good foundation to build on. Now do you understand of what infinite importance you've been for my development? She took both my hands and pressed them warmly, while those beautiful eyes were filled with tears. Also you have for me been a help to my development, I said. What had become of my weak and effeminate nature, everything just passed me well. No, it's the trials and battles that hardens our will and puts steel in nature. I thank you for everything and especially for this unforgettable moment of reckoning with the past. Yes, now we have suffered ourselves free from the ties Varuti our passions ensnared us together, and in exchange found each other as faithful friends. She pressed once again my hand with a warmth of heart that I will never forget. After a moment of silence, she said with a tender smile, "Now we have together ransacked the past. Are you also curious to look into future? Do you know something about it?" I cannot say I know anything, but I just wanted to tell you that Akub promised a procure favor for me as I have asked him about. And of what is it composed? That I, the next time we go down in the world of matter, may be your mother. Here ends my story with the child's gratitude to the father for his loving, unfailing guidance through the mists of error, up to all our bright, lovely home. Part 3. fanatics and martyr memories of two terrestrial lives. Introduction. Religious fanaticism is one of the worst scourges that has ever scourged humanity. How much blood has not flowed, how many atrocities are not committed under the fanatical cover, God wills it. People's hardness and malice against each has taken many forms, but nothing has been so refined in their cruelty as that, which was conducted in the name of religion, and nothing has even attracted so much suffering and misery of its practitioners. I speak from experience, for I myself have been guilty of the worst crimes under pretext that I thus served a holy thing, and I have been through terrible sufferings, but finally freed me from the shackles with which I thus burdened my soul. Could there be someone to help in his eternity walking, a lesson to see how their inevitable effects sneaks into deeds' tracks, but also how these effects are likely to bring up the fallen, to cleanse the taint, to care the wounded, and I will here in broad views tell of my crimes in one of my earthly life and my sufferings in the following. I won't try to make it as objective as possible, like standing outside myself, and I hope then I now in fact can put all this away, which burdened and haunted me for more than 300 years. My heart thanks, my spirit's worship of the one great comforter in all tribulation, the Father everywhere, whatever the Father is called, thanks for all that has happened to me, and that made it possible for me to reach here, where I now stand, and so that I can tell you. I lived in a time when passions, pain, ran high waves in the minds of men. The Reformation had, during fire and baptism of blood, broken road right through the walls with which an all-powerful church known to surround and cripple people's divine privilege, freedom of thought, but the church took revenge on its rebellious children. In or by prison, sword and body, the church searched stifle heresy, as through this his martyrdom only got so much more force to grow strong. It was the same truth cloister on earth echoed all times, when a new and cleaner outlook wanted to break through. I was in this battle on the dark side. I was a papist, a raw, ruthless papist, who shunned not any funds when it came to combat heresy. And yet I was neither priest nor monk, I was a senior official in one of southern Germany's major cities. Closer I will not enter my place in the world. My Christian name was Bernhard, it may be enough. From childhood, I had learned to revere the church. She was to me the epitome, not only of all that is holy, but also of all power in heaven and earth, and this view was the ominous hint for my whole life, cover for all my crimes. My father was a strict master, who often chastised me harder than I deserved, which in my young mind founded a bitterness and hardness, which I then found it very difficult to overcome. My mother was a good and pious woman, but so cowed by her husband's despotic temper that her influence over me was not of any importance. She also died while I was still quite young. I got my education first in a convent school and then at University of Heidelberg, where I mainly studied theology and law. Such prepared I went out in life. As I was a so-called high birth, I was soon a favorable employment and advanced briskly. I was a relatively young man when I felt the sweetness of my handkeeper not inconsiderable power. The despot in me, which to date has been fixed, now became free and pulled me away from indifference to hardness, the hardness of a crime. I had a childhood friend, the blue-eyed, light-haired Louis, in so many respects, my complete opposite. Personally, I had brown eyes and black hair, but the disparity was not only an exterior. Louis was a nice nature, introspective and dreamy. He was kind-hearted, but also strong-willed. We had grown up together and even been comrades at the university. Then he took a modest job as a printer of a genteel magnate. Despite the disparity in our characters, I felt very drawn to Louis, and certainly, that he for a time exerted a very good influence on me. But then came the break between us. He still lived in his parents' home, where I was often a gladly seen guest. Louis' mother cherished me with an almost maternal tenderness. A day I met in this home a distant relative of Louis, the fair Elsa. Never shall I forget the brilliant eyes and the weak smile when she first came out, while she opened the gate for me. You are looking for Louis? She said. He is in his room, if you please will enter. I greeted courteously and mumbled something that she guessed right. But I was so busy sensing the beautiful revelation she was, that I had preferred not going ahead, and just stayed where I stood. We from then on met frequently. She treated me with her effortless transparency, which is a distinguishing feature of purity of heart, and I was drawn by an irresistible force to her presence. I think Louis more than Elsa saw the emotions that had been woken in the middle of my breast, and this tormented him, for he was silent and gloomy, often went away from us without saying a word, and showed me on the whole, not the former friendly familiarity. Finally, it came to an understanding between us. I told him how deeply attached I was to Elsa and asked him how he thought she would respond to my request for her hand. "It may she herself tell thee," was his short answer, and so he rushed out of the room. "Oh, it is so," I thought. "Well, let her talk," and I doubted not a moment that she would prefer me, a nobleman, already reached high in a social position, especially compared to the insignificant writer. But I was mistaken. I got a short and firm rejection of my proposal. Some time later, I heard that she and Louis were betrothed. Now grabbed me jealousy demon, and the love I harbored hatred changed. All my thoughts focused now on the only desire to take revenge on both of them for the affront I felt I have suffered. Opportunity presented itself to that after some time. Late one night, when I went home alone from a party collection, I thought I heard singing from a remotely located house in the garden. I stopped and listened. What could it be? The main gate was locked, but from a back alley on the other side of the block, I managed to prepare me access through a back gate which stood open. I crept up to the house and put my ear against the wall. Sure enough, my suspicions were confirmed. It was the singing of hymns. There were heretics who held church services. All the shutters were bolted so that I could not see in, but by the chorus, which, however, apparently was very subdued, I could understand that much people were gathered in the small room. The heretic persecutions was now as an epidemic across the country, and nothing was to the church and the ruling princely more pleasures than a statement against those who held secret Lutheran worship services, for such was the most severe punishments prohibited. I decided to stay some time, to discover who they were that such defied religious and secular commandments. The singing stopped, and I heard a voice speaking in preachy tone. I thought I recognized that voice. Was it possible? Could it really be Louis? I crept closer to that part of the house where I thought the voice came. Here hung the shutters on only one catch. It was easy with a gentle hand to bring it a little to the side. The small windows boxes, however, was on the inside and so covered with fog that I could not make out anything. However, I heard now much better. No doubt anymore, it was he who spoke. I captured clearly these words: "The papal Antichrist hath taken us of the Holy Scripture, which would teach us to love God and love of the brethren. Therefore also evil was now spreading and becoming an abomination to God and love to the brothers. Therefore also evil was spreading and becoming an abomination to God and people. But we, my brothers and sisters, want to read this word and edify us peer with its gospel. It is our right as human beings, even if the church and the law forbids it." I had heard enough. With quick steps I walked away and hurried to the city guard, which I by virtue of my office had the right to command. I took with me all guards and surrounded the house. Then I commanded the leader and someone to go in, or reckon if they did not want to open, and arrest the accused. I myself kept hidden at some distance. After a short scuffle, they came out with their prisoner. But at his side, clung a woman as they tried in vain to separate from him. I heard how she begged and implored the soldiers to release him or to take also her, but they yanked her by force from him and pushed her away. It like cut my heart, this plaintive voice that I once had so dear, and for a moment I was seized with the idea that running back and free them. But the next moment I hardened my heart and let the raw soldiers keep them. Early the next morning my valet reported that a young lady wished to speak to me. It was Elsa. She had no idea that it was me who overthrew them into the accident, and I pretended an utter ignorance of what has passed. She asked me so persuasive that I would put myself out for Louis, because, she said, and there and she was right, a word from me would be enough to save him.